There's too many Home Alones, there's too many Tremors, but I like to watch them for rotten treasure.
Hello. Welcome to Rotten Treasure. We watched X2. I'm your host, Jim O'Donnell, and with me as always is the other host, Kai Bobby.
That was such a beautiful way to welcome everyone. I think you actually did a really good job out of that high.
Oh, fuck. I thought it would be worse because usually I come in excited.
You just came in professional is what you did. You just came in like a really good sounding host. Like, honestly, I was thinking about stepping up and to like stop being the other host, and I was thinking about dethroning you, but now, no, I don't want it.
Yeah.
You're too good.
That's good. And you know who else is too good? Our guest.
Good.
former Philadelphia comedian turned current Philadelphia comedian, it's Tom Hattigan.
Hello.
For a second, I was like, did I send a bio? I was like, that doesn't sound good.
I didn't get one if you did.
That's on me.
No worries. Honestly, I think Jim usually does a pretty decent job. He hasn't said anything too like incriminating or anything like that, so that's good.
I also submitted bios that are just like Tom Hattigan as a comedian, and he's trying his best.
That's actually really good.
Cut him some fucking slack.
No, I hear you. I don't like writing bios at all. I had to write one for my LinkedIn. That sucks. That's the worst. Now I have to be I have a professional way of expressing who I am. No, yeah. Thank you.
I had to pretend my defining characteristic is being a customer care representative. I'm like, what?
You get to use the word proficient, though, and that's fun.
I'm real proficient. I'm a deeply unserious person is what I've been saying.
For like the forms that you submit for, like when you want to audition for an improv team, there's always the one that's like, why do you want to be on this improv team? Yeah. And I always go with the answer that I stole from Droop, which was money. I'm in it for the money.
I submitted to like a thing at a Toronto Sketch Fest last year. And in my bio for it was like, he's been doing comedy for like 10 years. And he spent so much money on classes. So he has to be funny. He just has to be.
Oh my God.
If he's not funny, it's real sad.
So come see if he is funny, because if he's not, oh boy.
Yeah. That's too much pressure. You know, I got to say, if anybody who has seen me do comedy and was like, oh my God, they're so funny, don't come see me do comedy, because that shit, if you don't stay sharp, eventually you're just like, I don't know how to be funny on stage. I lost it. But that being said, I've had a touch and go. I think I'm unpolished these days. So I haven't had like it's a shining star when I have like a perfect night. But lately, without a coach for the last year, it's been kind of bad improv. Yeah.
I've been on teams that never had a coach, and it was like, okay, this is super hit or miss. Like every other night was like, some were good, some were fucking dog shit, and we were doing a lot of shows.
I'll take it. I recently got to talk to a talking goat who helped me climb a mountain, and that was the entire show. I've learned sometimes the best narratives are the ones that you're like, yeah, you're only going like 30 feet up, but like, let's go everywhere else in this conversation as well. Like, I think I've learned that I actually like being in the base scene of a narrative and being relatively boring because I get to kind of watch the show while being in it, if that makes sense. I guess I watch what's happening to me, basically.
If it's like a bigger team too, you also get to like pick your spots a little bit. I love being like a tertiary character in like a big narrative show where I get to just walk out and be like, by the way, I've been here this whole time and I know everything. Like, oh shit. Like,
no, that's a fun position to play. I'm actually proud of myself for making a silly move, which was the whole time it was very evident that this goat that was helping me, like Mystic Goat, was like helping me climb the mountain, was clearly flying. There would be no other explanation for it to be floating next to me while we do that. So we did the whole 20-minute show without addressing it, and I was like, wow, you got up here really fast. You must have really good gear. And he's like, no, I've been flying the whole time. And like, that's such a stupid, but I love it when it's like called out like that. I think my improv team might be surpassing me. They're too good.
You just reminded me of I saw a show where Andrew Coppola played a very, very strange character. And this was in a Not Yet Rated, so he was like a teenage boy because they're always set in high schools. He like wore a cape and he was just like always just like drinking milk or something, like things like that. And then someone said to him at the very end of the show, why are you so weird? And he goes, I'm just an only child. He like was slowly becoming a serial killer, yeah. And he was just like, no, that's it.
He's like one of my favorite. He's also in that aforementioned group text that just like hasn't stopped. He has one of my like favorite. I use it as an example, like when I coach for like second beats and stuff like that, of like a Herald. So there was like, it was like an old Hackett Park show, and the first beat had like Bugman or some bullshit like that, something like that. And it's like some superhero shtick, like whatever. And Andrew's second beat initiation was, I need pictures of Bugman. Like, he pulled J. Jonah Jameson in. Like, if this is true, this character also exists. So it's just Coppola doing J. Jonah Jameson, where it's like, yeah, this, he's, you're building on the reality. This is very improv, inside baseball bullshit. But like, it was such a fucking hilarious out of the box choice that like, I'm like, I would have never made that.
That's also one of those things that like when we think of second beats, we often are like, oh, just time skip or, same characters, different situation.
Yeah. It's an easier thing to do than like A to C or whatever.
That's beautiful.
I feel like I'm good friends with Andrew, so it's weird that I'm like such a big fan of his too.
Oh yeah. That's literally us every week. Yes.
He did a one person sketch show. That was a parody of a Roger Waters, like, doing the wall thing. I forget what the name of it was, but it was,
interesting.
So-and-so performs The Well live at the Mids. Like, it was, like, he had, like, a full, like, music and everything, mm-hmm. as if he was, like, a Roger Waters type character. Doing his solo thing instead of performing The Wall, it's The Well, and it's just fucking so bizarre and so fucking funny.
The pig? Did it have the pig? You know what I'm talking about? The floating pig?
I don't think it had a pig. Well,
different album, so, you get it.
It was one of those shows that like 15 people saw, but like everyone who saw it was like, that was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Those are the kind of shows that I love. Just like, really strange and like, where did this come from? Like, why in 2023 do you think Roger Waters is like a thing that we all connect on, but perfect.
That's so funny. Yeah.
I mean, I was singing a song about a bird in improv, like the show the other day, and I was like, hey, I did the classic. Hey, come on, let's sing it. We both know the song. And it's like such a stupid move. Like, I'm so mad at myself for using that move, but whatever. And I started with, because it's about a bird, I was like, you just caw out my name. And I was like, really? This is the most relevant caw, like, pun I can make right now in relation to music.
And what's great is you get to do word lines after that. Like, I have an idea for a joke. And if I'm on the sidelines, I'm like, no, I'm gonna let this one go. Oh no, let this one go. More lines on it. What's the second verse of this song? Because I think he has one joke.
Oh my god. My favorite thing is to watch someone start something and then be like, no, you've made your bed. You have to sleep in it. Please keep going. People do it to me all the time, so everyone gets their just desserts, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I did it, this is years ago, but the first thing that popped to mind was, it was like a show and tell show, and they did, Magier Valois came in and he had like all these, autographs from being an Eagle Scouts of like different like celebrities and say, hey, congrats, you did Eagle Scouts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he just like made an off comment. He's like, I had Bill Crosby. That was my favorite. No, it's not. And then he just like, so, I had to, that's my pool. And it was, I initiated a scene as Bill Cosby getting around to old Make-A-Wish requests. And
oh my God. No.
People were like, no, that's okay. You can get out of here. And I'm like, oh, I got plenty of time on my hands. What are we doing? And it was a thing where I'm like, this is a funny joke. And then the scene just kept happening. And I'm just like, I did this to myself. I did this. Mm-hmm. I created this hell.
I've been in so many scenes where people will out loud go, no, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Please. Yep. Like, I gotta, Scott Campbell did this to me once. One time I came in as like a waiter for a scene in a jam and I was like, all right, well, bye. And he goes, no, no, you have to stay. We have to talk to you.
And I was like, oh, dessert. Yeah.
I made a joke that fell flat. I don't want to stay. And he's like, uh-uh, yeah. You're not getting off that easy.
I could see Scott doing that. Anybody who hasn't heard Scott Campbell on any of our episodes, listen to like all 18 of them. I don't know. He's been on a few times. You should just go through the catalog. You'll understand.
Friend of the show. Friend of the show.
Yes, friend of the show. Opinion of my coworker. He's the man. So.
I'm going to segue this real quick because I need to know. Also, we're going to get back to which album has the pig because I did go to see Roger Waters and he had the pig. And he did The Wall. Is he not supposed to have the pig at The Wall?
I don't know. It's just such a staple.
I think he's just doing his own thing where he's, sure. You know, it's kind of a greatest hits thing.
I think I saw it was 10 years ago. It was like my 25th birthday. I went to go see Roger Waters do it at Fenway. Fucking Fenway Park. Anyways, I remember the pig. It was wild. I got to know, Tom, if you could tell me, what is your relationship with the entire X-Men franchise as an entity, as a whole?
X-Men is probably the thing I'm the most nerdiest about outside of comedy stuff. Comedy and like writing and movies and everything. I've been a huge fan of X-Men. Like I feel like I didn't watch cartoons because I was like, it's no X-Men. Like, the X-Men 92 cartoon was like fucking had all them on VHS when I was a kid, watched them. That was like my sick day thing. Nice. And I remember. So I'm 33. So X-Men came out, the first movie came out when I was like 9. And here's how much of a nerd I am about this. I remember where I was when I saw the trailer for the first X-Men movie, because I'm 9 and it's like 2000. So I'm not like on the internet looking at fucking upcoming movies or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Big Mama's house.
Nice.
Martin Lawrence comedy, which is like great if you're 9. And
my sister's favorite movie when we were like 9.
It's great when you're 9.
I'm pretty sure I saw that in theaters too,
But like, I remember seeing the trailer for the first X-Men movie and being like, I can't focus on Big Mama's house. I just have to think about that. I was like overloaded with like excitement for X-Men and like, so like opening weekend and did the same thing with X-Men 2, which is what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
And I also have an X-2, X-Men United, which is a terrible title. Especially when the X-Men are specifically not united throughout 90% of this movie.
They're very ununited.
Yeah.
Unless they're saying that the X-Men United is, Magneto and Professor X coming together. Because they come together. Stretch. Yeah, it is a stretch. 100%.
They have two scenes together. And they both end with Xavier getting screwed.
Yeah, he does get fucked over both times.
I have an embarrassing story about X-Men 2 also. It was like, this is how excited I was. I remember I had the like date when it came out on VHS down. Like, but it was like the home release. And I was at like Super Fresh or some, I think it was the Super Fresh in Bayfair Shopping Center. And they had it out like 2 weeks early. And I was like, I need to buy this right now. Mm-hmm. And my mom's like, we don't know. I know they're going to realize they fucked up. I need this right now. I'm like 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the VHS, and this is how much of a fucking nerd I am. I brought it to school with me the next day to brag. Like, I thought anyone else might give a shit about this.
Oh my god, I've done this. I've like brought like Pokemon game, but not like a Game Boy to play it.
Yeah, I love what I got. And everyone's like, cool, I don't. Yeah, I saw that over the summer. It was okay. Like, you don't get it. I had to pause it and see what was on that computer screen now. Like, so fucking hyped for this movie.
No, reasonably. It was great. When I got to watch this with my parents. I started like 13, so then I got to watch this again at 15. So it was weird because it was like I was just old enough at that point to just be like, wait, what are – like this is going to sound weird. But I was like, wait, what are like good movies. Like, I just switched to that because I had just been watching bad movies for most of my...
You don't give a shit. You're just like, yeah, that's awesome. This is the best movie.
Movies are just good.
I was just in the transition of like, well, especially 15, I was like, oh, I can go to the theater and watch whatever I want. Mm-hmm. I don't have to watch what's on TBS. Sweet.
No, but I remember the first movie I ever watched where I was like, oh, this is like good and like different than other movies that I've seen. And then started having opinions on whether or not movies were bad movies. And this was when I was 14 and I saw Clerks. It was the first time I was like, oh, like this is something else.
It's a weird movie.
Nice. Yeah. I like having awakening of like quality control.
Yeah. There was something about like them having a relatable character arc that I was like, whoa, like you can do that. You can make a movie where it's just like everyone's in a convenience store and that's it. This is wild, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question that you hear all the time in improv. Why these people? Why today? You better give me a fucking good reason that this movie does not move. Like, I do like, what's it called? When it doesn't leave.
Bunker.
Oh, you know what? I'm only thinking in the context of series, bottle episode. That's what I'm thinking of. But I don't know what to call it when a movie does that. Like, what the fuck? You're just like, wait a minute. You're telling me they're going to be here basically the whole time?
You just score a bunch. Like, a lot of people forget that. Like, they play hockey on the roof. They go to a funeral. Uh-huh. There's the video store in that store. Like, they're out and about.
They go to another video store?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay, I guess, yeah, they went next door, so that counts. That was the big wild thing. No, you're totally
kidding. Like a small New Jersey town, so.
Yeah. To me, it was, oh, man, like, there can be a movie about basically nothing. And it does have an arc and it does have like point to it. But like it is a movie where like there's no dinosaurs or anything, which is what all I had seen before then.
Yeah. I was always like a big horror movie kid growing up, so like always watched all of those and shit. Friday the 13th. I think we had like the Freddy VHS set of like all of the movies and stuff.
I had that.
So like we watched so much bullshit. Some of it's terrible. I think if I had a moment where I was like, okay, some movies are better than others, it was like watching old horror movies and like, I think Jason 7 is kind of dog shit. Like one of those, like.
You can talk to us directly about it, or you can talk to my friend Cassie about it because she came on for that one. Talking about those fucking movies, going through that entire franchise was rough. I don't do horror films, so you're talking about growing up on them. I watched Scream through a reflection because I was like terrified. I don't like suspense, like scary stuff. I never did. But now as an adult, I have a fucking, thanks Jim, I have a movie podcast now. So like, occasionally we're going to do scary stuff, and that was so campy, but also such a long run for so much garbage at the end, especially that remake. That hurt.
So yeah.
What the fuck was 7? Was that New Nightmare? That was New Nightmare.
I was just throwing a number out there. I know there's certain of them.
You just happened to pick the good one.
After having like 4, 5, and 6 be absolutely horrible.
New Nightmare is good. I was trying to get my girlfriend to watch that a few months ago, and she was like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's also like a slow burn in like, and by the end, like the third act of that movie is pretty dog shit. It falls apart real quick at the end.
Well, if I'm remembering right, isn't like most of that movie just remade in Scream 3?
Is it? Oh my God. I haven't seen Scream 3 in years.
Scream 3 is the one that takes place on the movie set. The Stab sequel.
That's good.
So I'm pretty sure half of this is like just New Nightmare. Like,
oh my God.
I could be totally wrong. It's been years since I've seen either of them, but
I think if you're going to watch New Nightmare out of nowhere, you have to be like someone who gives a fuck about it. Like you have to be really giving a fuck about it because like either that or recently have watched the first one and be fueled by that to watch the next one. For me, the only thing that I'm grateful for all the talking that we got to do about it. And I am grateful for watching, like knowing the nonsense experience that was Mark Patton's in the second sequel or in the sequel, and seeing all that like clearly homophobic shit that later became camp, like all of that was fantastic. Yeah. Especially
We watched a really good documentary about it.
Yes.
At the end, because Rob O'Neill was like, you guys should watch this. Also bring me back.
If anybody hasn't watched Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street, it's a good watch.
He's a great guest to have on for that too. He's another person who like grew up in a video store and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. And a big horror fan as well.
Yeah.
So we'll do more horror. I don't know. Eventually, I mean, literally, the podcast started because we wanted to do Jim likes Friday the 13th, 6. So eventually, we should probably do that, right? That's like a thing that should happen?
Probably, yeah.
You can make all any rules you guys want.
Yeah. True. Which is why we'll have episodes where we're like, Neil Barton wants to come on for Real Genius, a movie that doesn't have sequels? Pfft, why not? We don't care.
We literally recorded that episode like last week. yeah, because Neil was just like, hey, do you want to do this movie? I was like, not a franchise, but okay.
Right now, what I've been hyping up like for people the last few, maybe like the last year is like old Albert Brooks movies.
Yeah.
Like so fucking good. And just kind of discovered them like maybe like a year or two ago. And then HBO Max just came out with a documentary about his like career. And I'm like, oh shit, I got some like later movies to watch that I heard aren't as good, but like.
Oh, like Finding Comedy in
the Muslim World and the Blues and the Mom, I think it's called, or whatever.
Mom, yeah. I didn't watch that one.
But like, Real Life is his first movie. He makes a mockumentary about reality TV in 1978. And I'm like, that sounds wrong, but like, that's what that movie is about.
Like, predates reality TV, predates mockumentaries, did both of them at once.
Yeah.
He was, I love Albert Brooks. I'm a huge Albert Brooks fan.
I couldn't remember who he was, so I had to look up who Albert Brooks was, and then I realized how I knew
Marlon
him.
And Finding Nemo.
No, it's The In-Laws. I saw that movie way too many fucking times.
I was really hoping you were going to say Frank Scorpio from The Simpsons.
Oh, that's my way, because I would listen to the commentaries for The Simpsons, and that one I listen to a lot, and it's just them gushing over him. They said they sent him the script, and then he came back with like four completely different scripts, and was like, we could try one of these.
Yeah.
Anybody who, unfortunately, I've said it on here a few times. I think I've seen 5 Simpsons episodes, so I don't really have a reference, unfortunately. I don't know what it is, but I haven't done it. It's probably – I should do that before I die. It's important. Gotta get
the episode is called You Only Move Twice. It's a James Bond parody.
Okay. Say more.
Homer gets a job basically working for a James Bond villain who is Frank Scorpio.
Good.
Voiced by Albert Brooks. It's like my favorite Simpsons episode.
It's fantastic. It's great.
All I ever cared about was the arcade game, and that was it. I also, I don't know what it is, but I had so much Simpsons shit. Like, I had all the dolls. Like, I had a Simpsons dolls. I used
everywhere for years.
I had my favorite towel was a Bart Simpson towel from, like, I don't know, the mid-90s that said, like, Cowabunga, dude. Like, with him on a skateboard. I was like, what? This guy's cool, but never gave a shit about the show. I was also the kid who collected Pokemon cards and never played the game. So, I mean, it makes sense. It checks out. I'm just invested enough. I think I just like investigating shit.
I'm like, great, we're gonna get real niche with this X-Men.
I know. I was just about to say, we've already gone niche because we're gushing about Albert Brooks. Did you ever hear the story about how he was friends with Stanley Kubrick?
No.
Because he made, hang on, let me see what the movie was. No, it was Modern Romance.
Oh, that one's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but
a really good rom-com about two people who should not be together.
Yeah, and Stanley Kubrick apparently like called him one day, and he was like, hey, it's Stanley Kubrick. You made a movie I've always wanted to make. Congratulations. And then they had like a great friendship until Albert Brooks made Lost in America, and he sent it to Stanley Kubrick, and he was like, you know, the couple shouldn't end up together at the end. And Albert Brooks went, well, that's a terrible ending of a movie. And then Stanley Kubrick stopped being friends with him.
that sounds on brand. Yeah, I just started collecting Criterions and stuff, mm-hmm. like getting back in the physical media game a few months ago, and Lost in America is my first Criterion.
I love Lost in America. It was Matt Groening has a list of his 100 favorite things. And one of them is Albert Brooks' Lost in America. And I was like, well, I gotta watch this.
Wait, so he's lost and he's in America.
You kind of only watch it because you're a fan of Albert Brooks, but
gotcha. Yeah, it's It's about a guy who is like a corporate fucking guy who's just like, this is bullshit. I'm going to quit my job, sell my house, and travel the country in a Winnebago with my wife. And it doesn't work out.
He's got it to sound like a good time at all. but Julie Haggerty's in it, so that's fun.
Oh, she's great. She's certainly good in it.
Okay. Like, there's a famous scene that was parodied in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that you might recognize, which is he loses all his money in Las Vegas, and then he goes to the owner of the casino, and he's like, okay, I got an idea. How about I go around and I start gambling and I'm losing and everyone's going to get so excited about losing because I'm going to be having such a good time. Can you give me a bunch of money so that I can do that? And they went, no, that's the dumbest idea anyone's ever had.
I feel like if I was having the right manic day and I had really lost enough money, I feel like that would be up there with my ideas. Like, I think
something like, all right, let's think about it. Right? $300,000 in 1985 money.
And yeah. You got nobody outside with a sign. Maybe I should be dressed up as like a chip. I could be outside. Well, we can figure it out. I'll degrade myself. Whatever we gotta do.
We know you need money, so there's that. Because you just fucking lost it. Yeah. I talk about Albert Broch movies all over the place, but X2 is what I wanted to talk about.
I was gonna say,
let's actually talk about X2 for a second.
Please indulge me, because I do want to know what you thought, because we just watched X-Men 1, and I hadn't seen it in probably, I don't know, since it came out, maybe once or twice after. So to watch this a week later, I'm like, whoa, I forgot that this was, in my opinion, better? What do you think?
I think X2 is, like, one of the best of the franchise. What's that, like, 13 or 14 movies in the X-Men like universe now, if you count the Deadpool ones?
We're doing 13 of these, yeah. Including, I guess if Deadpool 3 comes out by the time we... No, I'm just kidding, it won't, but 13.
Yeah, I mean, I think X2 is definitely top tier. I think the only, like, X-Men movie that might be better than it, in my opinion, is Days of Future Past. But, like, I think you have the first X-Men. It's, like, fine, but it's very much, like, a movie of the time, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And like, I think X2, it's so much a like, oh, this is a post 9/11 movie. This is a post 9/11 where like the government is overreaching and like that is the driving force. Mm. I don't think the government's the bad guy or any like in a post like having the Homeland Security Act or whatever.
Oh, yeah. You got it right.
Yeah. Cause that's like, oh, that's for sure the jumping off point for this. There was an attack and then the government is like, okay, we're going to like fucking go into overdrive on this shit. And that's how the whole movie starts.
It's wild. I mean, the first one, the government was the bad guy, but it was just one specific politician.
Yeah.
It's
kind of like a background baddie.
Yeah. And I mean, given that the, X-Men is a bit of an allegory for civil rights movement. The government's almost got to be the bad guy, at least in like establishing movies like this.
Yeah, and I also think this is the first time that like, especially, I mean, you look at this came out in like 2003. There's a straight up coming out scene in it. Like,
no, it was painful. It was really tough. And his like younger brother, like, ugh, this guy, like his energy couldn't do it. Like, I felt like real quick. I felt like I was watching an episode of like Seventh Heaven. I was like, who is this actor? Sorry, I'm being so mean.
No, like, you're not wrong.
Right? Was that not like the worst? Like, who got that kid?
He looks like he escaped from like a Sum 41 music video. Like, he's like, oh, early 2000s. Like, ugh. Like,
what's the casting call on that? Punk, like homophobic brother? Like, is that it?
Yeah, basically. I do remember that. I remember reading at the time that scene they had Ian McKellen involved in like how the scene would play out because Ian McKellen is gay.
Yeah.
And they had to do that. And that was how I found out that Ian McKellen was gay. And at the time, this is about to get personal a little bit. At the time I was getting bullied for being gay and being like, no, but no, sure. Finding out that Ian McKellen was gay, I was like, okay, cool people are, gay people are cool. Like, my brainwashed Catholic school brain.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, my brainwashed Catholic school brain was just like, no, wait, being gay is lame. Oh, no, it is not. It Gandalf's gay. I'm fine.
Hey everybody, Kai Bobby here, the other host. Can confirm that being queer is super fucking cool. Highly recommend giving it a go. Don't forget to double check your Kinsey scale and get out there and be somebody. Speaking of queerness, you should support these queer podcasters you're going to hear about in a second. And then we'll get back to the show. Sound cool? Cool.
Since the dawn of time, humans have been desperate for connection. Then we realized we could solicit strangers through the Sunday paper. You've heard of Craigslist personals? Just imagine the pining and thirst from lonely queers searching for love. Join me, Haley, and my array of guests as we read, drag, and rate personal ads from the 1970s through today. If you love gay yearning, you'll love Q4Q, the Queer Personal Ads podcast.
It's 8 a.m. on Black Friday.
It's 2:20 p.m. on Black Friday.
It's 12:30 a.m.
5 p.m.
9:50 a.m. on the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
This is episode 1 of 53 that we are recording back to back.
18 of 53.
26.
34.
40.
51.
52 of 53 that we are recording back to back.
Welcome to Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Jim.
I have a feeling of whimsy during the winter seasons.
Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Joe.
I grew up liking sports, loving sports and athletic figures and things like that.
Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Olivia.
This is the only beach I'm going to give a 10 out of 10.
Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Mo.
For me, it's the middle of Halloween season because I've already started several weeks ago.
Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Carrie.
I like to make things, and I'd like to know what kind of things are you making.
We're talking February 25th through March 2nd, 2024.
With our guest of the hour.
With our guest of the hour.
With our guest of the hour.
So specific things about this Olympics is that there's a new sport.
Like, nobody plans ahead for a solar eclipse.
Can I make a prediction about Venom 3?
The first thing we want to do is get to know you and how you move through time.
The more you sleep, the faster you get there.
I also like to make decisions very quickly. So like, if I'm shopping for a car, it's the first car I see.
I manage my calendar entirely out of my notes app.
Are we putting hexes on people?
Oh yeah, we can. I didn't bring any candles.
Producer Tom jumping in. I went home a little bit early yesterday and came in a little late today. And in podcast time, I just took off like 3 months. So
yeah, we've got one more and then I get to take like a 2-hour nap.
Honestly, this is one of the first franchises I think that really was kicking off around that time, right? Am I wrong in saying that? I mean, no, we've had Jurassic Park, we've had shit like that's kind of around this time, but like early 2000s, this is definitely like to have 13 by now, I think is still a lot in the franchise.
Yeah, it's a rough, it's not like a smooth run.
That's what I understand. We just did Land Before Time, two back. I'm still upset. We did recently Final Destination before this, and before that we did 14 Land Before Times. Jesus. Anything's better than 14 before Land Before Times. I will accept anything.
Oh, have you guys heard the Gremlins song, the Gremlins 3 song?
No.
Okay, I'm going to send this to you guys. It's like a joke song, but it has definitely found its way into my like heavy listening list. It's a song about a guy who just wants Gremlins 3 to exist, and it's, I will send you a link.
I watched Gremlins 1 on a bus to New York, for like a school trip, and I watched only like the first 2/3 of it, and then, then we got to New York, and then I went on a different bus on the way back, so I didn't get to watch the end of Gremlins.
So did Phoebe Cates' dad die yet? Or was that like where you ended and you're just sad in New York?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I really honestly don't remember. I just remember going back and hearing they finished Gremlins and then watched like The Bone Collector. And I was like, oh man. Meanwhile, I watched Star Wars 3.
Wait, which one? Hold on. I don't think that's what it's called, Jim.
That is Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
episode 3.
That's sort of the original of the second trilogy. So.
Yeah, I mean, not saying much.
The bar is low, but like, whatever.
The bar is low, and it like just barely gets over the bar.
You're gonna find that with a lot of these X-Men movies.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I remember having a crush on a girl who really, really liked Wolverine Origins, and I think that happened, and I was like, maybe I don't have a crush on this girl.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, maybe I am gay. Like, I thought it was going to go full throttle. I think I hate girls.
Is this me coming out?
I think Wolverine Origins has like hit a point where it's like so bad it's fun. Like that's like a fun, okay. Like get your buddies together and like watch it with like a case of beer. But it's the only X-Men movie that's fun like that, and the rest are just bad or good.
Is his brother in it, and does he have just bones instead at the time?
Yeah.
I've seen this fucking movie. This is one of those movies that I'm like, I guess it'll happen to me, that I kind of blacked out, so I guess I'll have it happen to me again.
It's so fucking bananas. There are, like, really good parts of it, which is, like, Lee Schreiber as Sabretooth is so fucking good in it, and, like, Dominic Monaghan has, like, this really great scene where, like, Sabretooth is about to kill him, but it's, like, a very dramatic and, like, well-performed scene. And then there's, like, Wolverine, like, attacking a helicopter on a motorcycle. Like, it goes 0 to 60 in, like, a million ways and has, like, some of the worst CGI.
Is that the one where they bring in Deadpool, but his mouth is, like, shut? Yes. And that might have been, like, for legal reasons or something?
I have no idea, but that is exactly what happened.
Yeah, okay.
So.
I just remember being upset in the last film, and I'm wondering if Wolverine did this on the helicopter, too. Can he just grab metal and swing around poles for some reason like he's fucking Spider-Man? Because that confused the shit out of me. I don't know. I'm like, I don't understand his claw's abilities. Right? What the fuck?
I'm struggling here, man. You know,
he's just angry, probably drunk, and can't really die that easy. Like, that's his superpower. What a guy. He's just like, I want to see him hang out with Nicolas Cage from, like, Never Leaving Las Vegas, whatever that fucking movie was. Like, I want to see a level of, that Johnny Depp movie going to Vegas also was fucking Fear and Loathing. I want them in, like, a weird, druggy, fucked up, let's just die and be pessimistic movie. Can that exist? I feel like they both would be really good.
Have you seen Logan?
No. That's the one that I'm very excited to get to. It's so far from now, though.
That's, like, of the ones I've seen, that one was probably my favorite.
Logan's the best X-Men-related movie there is. Like, it's just a western, but, like, with fucking Wolverine. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah. And I love it. It's so simple.
It's so good.
Do they keep his hair? Does he still have stupid hair, like in this one?
No. It's a little less stupid, like, as it goes on. But it's definitely dumb in this one.
It's really bad. I'm like, oh, my God. He must have hated this. Do you think he regretted doing the movie as soon as he looked in the mirror that day?
I looked at, like, some of the trivia on, like, IMDb. And, like, one of the things is, like, the reason his hair looked so fucking weird here is he had to wear a wig because he was also filming Van Helsing at the same time.
There's a couple times where I was like, man, his face looks weird. And it's because of his hair. The hair is weird.
His hair.
Yeah.
It's like a helmet that he like has to wear and it goes up to his chin.
I thought he went to like, honestly, I worked at a doggy daycare. It looked like he went and got groomed like a poodle. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, someone was being like, I don't know, I'll just have fun with it.
That's like, the mind.
It did not, sure did not go well.
Wolverine, yeah.
Oh, poor buddy.
Yeah, I'm excited for y'all to watch all of these movies. There's redeeming parts in most of them. I'm definitely going to listen alone because it gets rough.
I've heard Dark Phoenix is like just bad, and like people hate it.
I think I've seen it, but I also blacked it out. Yeah,
it's not good, and it's also boring. I think it's more boring than it's bad.
Which I think that's a criminal. I think that's the thing that will get people. Yeah, because like we were talking about Wolverine Origins, it's not boring, but it's bad, but people will watch it because it's not boring. When you're a boring movie, oh boy, you're not.
Well,
that's a huge strike.
Dark Phoenix is just boring, and it's like, I don't know like why any of this is happening. It's very apparent half the actors don't want to be there. Wolverine Origins is like, just insane shit happening, like, back-to-back, and you're just like, what is going on? Like, you're trying to follow on, and it's just, like, moving, and it's fucking nonsense. And then there's X-Men 3, where it's just choices are happening, and you're like, why are you doing this? Like, why is this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many things happening that you're just like, I'm so disappointed you didn't pick a lane and instead tried to do like five different things.
I'm guessing they rushed the production, as it always goes, right, with the third one? Yeah.
Well, Brian Singer fired himself to go work on Superman, and then they brought in Brett Ratner, and I remember this at the time, because I watched X2, like, right before that came out, for the first time, and was like, oh man, X-Men, this is awesome, I love this, like, I can't wait to see everything, and then that movie came out, and everyone talked about it, and I was, like, 14, didn't have money, and was like, you know what, I don't think I'm gonna spend the no money I have on this movie.
I remember going to the Chamonix Mall to see X-Men 3 and running into my cousin there. And I was like, without spoiling it, like, what'd you think? And he was just like, everyone dies. And I'm like, oh, I didn't.
Thanks for that.
I said no spoilers, but I guess that's. But he said it in a way that was like, yep. So, fucking lower your expectations right now. I'm like, oh.
I always love the clip of Mark Ruffalo for the Avengers movie, where someone was like, the interviewer was like, so what happens in the movie? And he goes, everyone dies. As a joke, he's like, well, clearly everyone's not going to die. But he happened to say for the one movie where half the people died.
Yeah.
And then they had to be like, dude.
wasn't that an interview with Don Cheadle? I think I've seen this.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle hits him like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, man.
He's a fucking Skrull anyways.
Then he corrects himself.
Spoiler. Sorry.
Yeah. And then he corrects himself and he goes, sorry, half the people die. And he's like, dude.
No, I'm grateful. I've had movies ruined for me beforehand and it's not fun. It's fine when it's a bad movie. Or having ADHD, I'm gonna probably get there beforehand anyways. Just let me get to it. Like, let me have that.
Yeah, I didn't mind it as much after the fact, just because I was like, okay, that was rough. That was bad. I had a bad time, and I think it actually makes me like X2 so much more, because like there's so much world building in that movie that like they could have done things with, and like. They tried to do too much in X-Men 3, and they're like, cool, we're going to do the Sentinels, we're going to do the Cure, and we're going to do the Dark Phoenix all at the same time, and no one's going to be happy.
I've heard Dark Phoenix is like, it's like the legendary X-Men storyline, and I've always wanted to like read it or at least watch the season of the 1992 X-Men. To get the hand, to like understand what's going on, because I have no experience with Dark Phoenix. I haven't seen anything related. I just know it has to do with Jean Grey, and I know she dies she dies in this movie.
Yeah.
I gotta ask, does it at least have like a redeeming scene? Like, cause I was, I forgot that there are these, in these movies, just these immaculate fucking put together action scenes. Like this one literally kicks off with an amazing action scene, like aside from Silver Surfer, whatever, Silver Skeeter, whatever his name is, doing his thing, and like Silver. I think it was first class.
So they do that in First Class, and no, was it First Class? They do it in Days of Future Past and Apocalypse. They do it twice, and
I thought that this opening sequence, like this whole like fight scene was, I'm going to have a hard time beating it. Like I think I forgot this one or didn't see all of this movie because I've never seen that. And I was like, this is good. Like it got me as soon as I sat down after the ba 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 ba, you know, like I was like, okay, well, let's keep that energy going. Let's go, baby. And that was at 9:30 this morning. So
it's probably the best opening scene of the franchise.
And it's also what's his name? Cummings.
Alan Cummings.
Alan Cummings.
I wish he was in like more of these, because I love Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler is like one of my favorites in general.
Oh.
And like he shows up in the later ones, but like really doesn't do much. He's more just like a body, you know.
It's because he hated doing the makeup.
Yeah, I believe.
Because it would take him like hours to do it, and then he was in like 10 minutes of the movie, and he was like, "Come on, man, I'm out of here." Which is a shame because he's wonderful in it.
He's great. He's fantastic.
He's very. It's very heartwarming seeing him.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be. But, it's probably right up there with Mystique's too, right? Because she also fucking hated that shit. I would imagine. Sure. Oh wait, no. I think I'm sure she probably the actor. I don't know the actor who played her in this.
Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Yep.
I don't think I know her from anything, really. I'm really terrible at actors, and I don't watch
a lot. You might remember her as John Stamos' ex-wife.
The Stamos definitely clicked in my head. I was like, "Was that what's going on there?"
I feel like she was more known as like a model at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's the thing. And I mean, Mystique is a character who doesn't like really have to act that much.
You can outsource.
Yeah. You can outsource all of the acting to other actors, like as Mystique.
Oh, that's actually wild. Yeah, you don't really get to play you, and anytime you get to be you, you're also blue. Yeah. Do you think that's why they gave the visor guy, which I know as an X-Men fan, you're very upset probably that I just called him the visor guy. Cyclops. There it is. they gave him like a smaller one, so I was like, did the actor complain about not being visible enough? Like, what was that about?
Got it.
I don't know.
Yeah,
because I am thinking like it's gotta suck when you get a role and you're like you're not even gonna see me.
Yeah, Cyclops definitely gets the short end of the stick in like this entire series. I don't think he's the main person in every movie, yet he's like the main person in the X-Men comics. I'm a big Cyclops fan. People call him a cop because he's the leader in the like 90s show, and he's very much like this is the rules. We gotta try and do some rules or whatever. Fuck. But, like, in the comics, he fucking, over the last, like, 20 years, he's, like, shifted way closer to, like, Magneto than, like, anyone else. He's very, oh, really? He's, like, definitely the first motherfucker to shout, like, ACAB. Like, around, like, there's a storyline years ago called, it was Avengers versus X-Men. And the whole thing starts when Captain America and the Avengers show up. They're like, hey, this thing's happening. We have to take a person from the X-Men. And he's just like, fuck you, no. And, like, that's how everything happens. He's just like, fuck you, these are my people. Like, Cyclops is fucking rad as hell. I stand by that.
I remember, like, in Cyclops as a kid, I had one single X-Men comic. And I don't remember the plot line at all. I just remember looking at the pictures and thinking, oh, the pictures were cool. And I just remember loving Cyclops, Gambit and Jean Grey,
Rogue. The
Rogue, yeah, thank you. It was like the girl with the hair.
Yeah.
That's not their name. No, I actually, this is also, oddly enough, these are all characters that I also just had action figures of growing up without knowing any of that stuff. I also had Ninja Turtles. I had all these things. I think my parents just went to McDonald's a lot because they weren't great quality toys. There were just a lot of,
A lot of people with wheels for no reason.
I didn't think about it. I had a lot of wheel toys, yeah. No, I did have a fair amount of... No, I just remember Cyclops being one of them. And also, for whatever reason, the red wearing away in his eye and being upset. Like, and being like, ah, that's like his whole thing. The visor guy.
He has one thing, and he can't do it now.
I mean, that... Honestly, I wouldn't want that as my thing. I don't know what I would want my thing to be. Definitely not killing people by touching them. That sounds terrible. I don't want that to be a thing at all.
So there's a podcast I listen to that's called J.M. Miles Explain the X-Men, where they're doing is from episode one on, I think they're like 400 episodes in now, they're going through X-Men in continuity of release.
Of comic books or the movies?
The comic books.
Okay, so I was going to say that makes more sense. So I was going to say, how are they stretching up these movies?
There is not 400 episodes worth of discussion for these movies.
I'm only doing 13.
Jay, in the one co-host, has actually gotten to, like, write a Cyclops book. Like, a one-shot Cyclops book. And has canonically made Cyclops autistic, which... fucking explain so much. If you really, like, all of his big relationships are with women who can read his mind. That's a big one right there.
Like,
Jean Grey and Emma Frost, that's, like, been a whole thing for years. And just very much, like, we have to do this way, like, hyper-focusing on stuff.
Yeah.
It's like,
very the rules guy.
Yeah. Well, it's also one of those things where it's like Iceman actually comes out as gay in like 2015, but it's like, it's there. it's there for decades, but like because of like the Comics Code Authority, you can't really do that. And I think that's why.
Is he not gay in the comic books?
No, he is gay in the comic books. But okay, like, cool, yeah. He just came out in the comic books like 7 years ago, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Like at the time this movie came out, he's still a straight character, like in quotes. But it's like, is he? It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. It's like, All the subtext is there for decades where it's like, okay, he's like really into the girl he can't touch. It's like,
okay.
And like being a macho, like I'm like compensating like significantly in the comics of like, I'm so tough and I'm like, all, and then everyone's like, okay, Bobby, calm down.
I wish I had that. I would not be trying to be tough at all. I would be like, you guys want to go ice skating? Boom. Have fun. Like, I would try to use it just to brighten people's days.
Yeah. Well, I think that's definitely a part of it, too, where, like, that does come up where it's like, okay, he's all right. But it's in, like, comic books from, like, the 80s. And it's like, Wow. Okay, they can't say this, but, like, they really want to say this. And, like, there's a lot of that in, like, Claremont-era X-Men, which is, I've been chipping away at that for like the last couple of years because he wrote on X-Men for like 17 years straight, something like that. That's like something that's like completely unheard of in like modern comics of like anyone getting to like work on a single IP that long. Yeah. I think he wrote from like 77 or 6 to like 92.
I love it when people are that like, are people like loyal and they only do that? Or like, can you work at a bunch of different places at the same time? I know it sounds weird. Like, I don't know comic book world.
Well, like, some writers do, but a lot of them have, like, exclusive contracts with, like, a publisher and, like, do stuff. So, like, but they, a lot of the series now, they'll, like, end after, you know, 12 issues and then they'll reboot it because, like, the entire racket is based around having, like, issue number ones where, like, that's how readers know they can jump on, like, okay, well, it's issue number one. I can start reading Moon Knight finally or whatever. But it's like,
to be honest, that is what stops me from becoming a comic book fan, because I've always wanted to, but then I always have this like feeling of like, because I've always, like I said, I wanted to read the Dark Phoenix plotline, but I looked into it and it was like, well, if you want to read Dark Phoenix, you read Uncanny X-Men numbers 129 through 135 or whatever.
Yeah.
But to really get like what's going on, you have to go back to like issue number 99, because that's when it starts this plotline, and it won't make sense unless you read that. And if you really want to read that, you got to go back to the issue number 85, because then that plot will make sense. And it kind of like keeps going backwards. And I'm like, well, I guess I would just read it all the way through. And
yeah, there's definitely a continuity issue with comic books too, where it's like some of them have been running so long that it's like the focus of them have completely shifted. Like when you think of Batman, you're like, oh, Batman's like a loner. He like goes out and like every movie, Batman is like a guy who's just like, Batman has now had like 5 different Robins, like 2 different Batgirls. Everyone lives in the fucking Wayne Manor where like the entire Bat family is, there's like fucking,
he has 10 a gun. People. I remember him having a gun in one.
Yeah, you know what?
He's not supposed to.
But it's
no,
like,
he did though.
it's like all these characters kind of, you can't really do much new with them, but at the same time, when you do, it's like you have to live with that continuity going forward.
Batman's an especially weird one because he like started out and he was just like, it's a Batman. That's it. He's a detective. And then they slowly did the thing where they were like,
actually,
they like
the smartest man in the world.
Yeah, they queer coded him for a little while, so he got super campy in like the 50s or whatever. And then, in the 80s, Frank Miller was like, what if he was like a right wing nut job like me? And then you're like, what? Okay. I guess so.
I thought you were going to say, but okay. Yeah. Yeah. Frank Miller is also an interesting case because he's another one who's like, you're like, there is like a fascistic quality to a lot of like superheroes, especially vigilantes. Where like in the 80s, he gets big writing like Daredevil. Like pretty much everything people know and like about Daredevil goes back to Frank Miller. Around the same time he does The Dark Knight, which is the one where Batman is straight up like, actually, I'm a fascist and I'm just going to do this He's like, I'm an old man and I'm not ready to do to hang up the boots. And that actually has some like nice criticism of like the Reagan administration. Like Ronald Reagan's a bad guy in it. But then like he comes out with Dark Knight Returns, the like follow up to that series. And it's like,
oh yeah,
it's like super xenophobic or like Islamophobic. And because it's like post 9/11 now, it's like, oh cool, we don't need this guy writing these fucking stories like that. Like
Alan Moore one time said about Frank Miller, who was like, he hasn't written anything good since like, I think it was like 300. And he was like, ever since then, he's been just like gone on the deep end with right wing stuff. And is like, and I think I'd read that before I read the Dark Knight comic that he did, and that seeped into it when I was reading it, and I was like, oh no, there. Like
it's in the subject, like everything he writes. And like, if I mean, I feel like that subtext can be found in a lot of comics, and like X-Men is one of the few exceptions where like that, like the bad guys are always the fascist or like the government, or it's always a group of outsiders fighting to like just fucking exist.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of that comes from it being an allegory for civil rights movement, which is why like, cause you get the infighting between Magneto and Professor X, which was a big thing during civil rights movement. So like it all makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of that, that's like the Stan Lee story of it is like, well, I wanted to do this. But it also was like, he was like, I don't know how I got tired of it making up ways people got powers. I was, I don't know. Maybe they were born this way and people hate them. I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of the like more like textual allegory to like the civil rights movement and like the LGBTQ movement. Most of that comes like decades after Stan Lee gave up on X-Men. Like a lot of that comes from the 80s with like Chris Claremont. So like his like Magneto was just another like mustache curling bad guy before Chris Claremont wrote him, where like everything about him being like a Holocaust survivor was all like dropped in like the late 70s, like with Chris Claremont, like all of this stuff to make him a more rounded character where you're like, wait, what is this guy's deal again? And like really work towards like rehabilitating a lot of characters and like adding that deeper subtext.
Oh, okay. If they never did, we would have never got Ian McKellen and Sir Patrick Stewart being buddies. I don't know. Maybe they were buddies beforehand. I don't really know. Is this where they like started their BFF situation? I don't really know if they are.
I think that was a thing like in the Silver Age, I guess it was. But, I mean, none of it was explored that much until the 80s, where, like, Magneto was actually put in charge of the X-Men for, like, a while.
How'd things go?
That's, like, where I'm at in his run, in the Claremont run of stuff. So, he's in charge of the New Mutants, which is the, like, second generation of X-Men characters. Also, another movie that was disappointing.
No, I'm excited. But yeah, the fact that it was not selected last apparently is a big deal. Yeah.
I'll say this about New Mutants. It's definitely not as bad as people said it was. But if you're familiar with the characters, the twist is not a twist at all. It's just like, yeah, that makes sense. That's what is happening. Like it's,
sure.
It's a mystery that only exists if you've never read a comic book. So,
we're going to end it strong. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Oh no.
But it's definitely a movie that thought there was going to be a sequel to, which are always fun. Yeah.
You can feel that. That hurts when you're just like, oh no. You're just going to get a newspaper and a sad feeling tomorrow. I don't know. Do we still get bad news in newspapers? Do we still have newspapers?
No, I get it.
No, it hurts. Jim, I think it's about that time.
This is the part where we will do some final notes. So, Tom, Kai, if you have any final notes that you wanted to say about the movie, now is your chance.
I'm not even sure I took notes. I think I took like five because I was just like in it.
Yeah, same. I took it was a bunch like, of yeah. then nothing for most of it.
No, I literally have five as well.
Yeah, Jim, why don't you kick us off?
One of the things I liked was when he, like, when Wolverine sees, like, a cat, and he, like, has his claws out to him, and then the cat licks the claw. When he retracts the claws and turns around and they, like, cut away, the cat, like, meow, implying that he cut the cat's tongue.
Oh, shit.
And then the cat is, like, throughout the scene, like,
meow. He's not happy.
It's probably, like, a curiosity.
Which yeah. is wild to me.
And that was, hold on, that was not a CGI cat either. We're still putting pets. Animals were in movies. It was real.
Yeah, but they didn't show them. They just put a sound effect of a cat doing that. So they're just implying that he cut his tongue.
Okay, thank God. Honestly, I wasn't prepared for that. Okay, I didn't know what else they were going to get in trouble for.
We need to talk about Logan Roy being in this movie. Go ahead.
Who's Logan Roy?
Ryan Cox.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Oh, okay. Cool.
One of my notes is just, Ryan Cox is fucking great. Like, he's so good in this.
Yeah. It's weird that I only know him from Super Troopers, other than this, I think. Scarred left. I was like, his face is really fucking familiar.
Yeah, you'll get the fucking horns, yeah.
Oh.
Tom, hit me with it. What do you got?
There is one thing I did have, like, this is so stupid. There's a scene, like, one of the first scenes with Brian Cox, he's, like, talking, and Senator Kelly, who is Mystique in disguise at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Kelly's like, can I visit Magneto? And he's just like, absolutely not, fuck you. And then, like, two scenes later, Xavier's like, well, better go visit Magneto. Like, I was like, in what world does this fucking dude have access to, like, a war criminal and a U.S. senator doesn't? That was just like, oh, it's a trap. You can justify it like it's a trap. But I put that together this watch. I was like, wait a minute, hold the fuck up. What is it? And, I think my final note is on the final scene where all the X-Men show up in the president's office. Yeah. And I like that because it does draw a line where, like, a lot of, like, MCU movies have been called, like, propaganda or, like, military, you know, whatever, to, like, make the U.S. Army look better. This is where, like, the line is drawn because, like, the Avengers would never show up to the president's office and be like, don't fuck with us. Like, it's Fight Club.
Yeah.
The X-Men would.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of just gave them, like, an ultimatum. It's like, either work with us or you're fucking done, dude. Like, we're not going to say you're done, but, like, dude.
We're mutants.
Hey, the ones that aren't killing you right now, you might want to work with us. You know what I mean? Yeah. Probably a good idea.
The fucking Avengers would never do that.
Oh, I would love that. I really
think Captain America? I don't think so.
No, you need that. Be like, yeah! Down with the man! You're like, Chris, too much. You're trying too hard.
Meanwhile, the X-Men roll up squad to a crowded Oval Office and just basically hand the president a dossier. Just like, here's what's happening. Don't fuck with us. Bye. Like,
I just try to imagine every president handling that situation rapid fire in my brain, and it just hurts.
Joe Biden's just like, that probably wasn't real.
I gotta stop eating candy after 3 p.m.
Come on, man. I don't. There's probably no too way. Much
candy today. Meanwhile, Trump just wouldn't stop yelling about it to everyone. Yeah. Everyone's like, dude, we don't know what you're talking about.
Like, we don't
can't
believe
keep a fucking
you.
Secret for nothing, this guy.
unfortunately, I'm going to say this, and I think it's true. I think if Trump was adamant that mutants existed, there is a fair amount of Trumpers that would get on board with that.
I'd be like, you got to stop the X-Men immediately.
Absolutely, 100%.
They should be in a registry.
So the bulk of the plot of this movie is actually based on a comic called God Loves, Man Kills.
Cool.
And William Stryker in the comics is not a military person. He's a fucking far-right preacher.
Oh.
He's Reverend William Stryker. And instead of the military, he's like, he has the Purifiers, which is a fucking, basically KKK stand-in.
I was thinking this was Jones, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think they should have kept the same character, you know, same thing. Also kill him at the end, the same way.
I'm gonna tie you to a failing dam.
Yeah, you can go to fucking hell, dick. Yeah, no, man, they could have ended it that
way.
He's
a bad dude.
I mean, I will say he does a good job of being someone that I hate. Granted, my next flash to his face was him just being a drunk police officer. Also, totally fine with, yeah, we all know. This is one of those movies also where I was just like, oh, we're supposed to feel bad for the cops in this scenario. I was a little confused. I was like, nah, man, keep going, flame up.
That's how I felt watching Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, it's fine. You're like, yeah, keep blowing shit up. Have a good time. Break as many cars as you want. It's not a big deal. You can probably sell some of the other unnecessary shit around their office to buy more. Anyways, I got off my soapbox.
Yeah, I'm sending you an image right now on the Messenger. This is a still from God Loves, Man Kills, and it's of William Stryker. And there was a meme going around that said, that I saw, like, with this image, and it was like, Mike Pence always looks like he's about to try to ban the X-Men. that's William Stryker in the comics, just pointing at Nightcrawler, like, get him! It's like, bro, no chill.
So funny.
Oh, I would love it if mutants had a dance party at Mike Pence's house. Yeah, let's go, baby. Get ready, Mike. It's coming. It's actually, no, it's going to be an ice skating rink because the Iceman's going to hook it up. And don't tell me if he dies because that would be a spoiler. I have only a tiny little note, and surprise, surprise, on my folder, it was also pissed off about X-Men, like Wolverine's claw. I was pissed that he can start a car with his claws for some reason.
Yeah, but can he do it twice? That's my question. Can he just pick up that ignition?
I was just about to say, as someone who had their car almost stolen by a screwdriver, yeah, he's got it. It's fine.
Okay. I see that being more of a Freddy Krueger situation.
Not Jim's car, I should add. No.
Okay, that was my only note. Other than that, Patrick Stewart bringing us in, gold. Yeah. His voice. Yeah. Honestly, I might actually set that as my alarm for waking up. Like, I was just like, oh, okay. Here we go. Up. Yeah, the world is complicated. You're right.
May have run down.
We don't. Yeah. You're right, Sir Patrick Stewart. We don't share stuff. You know, I don't care that my dad wants me to see you in space, and I never watched any of that stuff. You're great. Literally, this is the only Picard I know. Or I don't know him as Picard. I know him as literally this. And pictures of him in bathtubs. Yeah. One day, maybe. We have it on the list. We'll see. Tom, this is your opportunity to promote nothing hateful and no cults. But other than that, you can promote whatever the fuck you want.
Okay.
Well, now Tom has to thank you. I
don't call me off guard without that. doing a little bit of coaching, but that's about it. And I'm helping with Case Comedy right now. In West Philly, I've been like helping them produce shows, but I'm not like that hands on there though, but I think I am putting up a stand up show the first week of July or January. July, Jesus Christ. Also, I helped produce the Talkin' 2024 podcast, and Jim was on. Kai was on. Yeah, it was super fun. You recorded 53 episodes of a podcast in 3 days. It was, it's all a blur, so I don't remember what happened at any point. I'm excited to listen to it, find out what happened. Yeah, I am a guest on it on 2 episodes. One was the 130 episode that like multiple people wanted to do, I guess. And we were afraid.
I think of 3 people who really wanted that slot.
We were afraid of inconveniencing people to be like, hey, do you want to like come and talk for like a half hour at 1:30 in the morning? And I was just like sleep deprived and delirious because I barely slept that night before. So I was probably up from like 4 to like 3 a.m. that day. And I got to Salabona when we recorded at like 7 a.m. because I thought before 7 a.m. because I thought that's when the first episode was recording, and it was actually 8 a.m.
Yeah.
I didn't leave until like 2:30. Fun stuff.
I loved having mine bright and early in the morning. That was fun. What a good time to have it, which is fine. It's not the first time I've recorded a podcast at like 9 or 8. We did that with the Muppets Treasure Island. It was like 8:30 in the morning for me.
Yeah.
Funny enough, the early morning podcast, I was exhausted for. I was not doing great. So the first couple of episodes are like me being like, you guys got this show. Like, please. And then my last 3 episodes, which were at like 10 o'clock at night, Yeah. Perfectly fine. I was great during those episodes. I felt great.
Yeah. Just gonna push well, like, also early on, I was like, I don't know how much I'm like going to be on mic, just kind of doing stuff. Then by the end, I'm just jumping in. I'm like, this is why this is bullshit. Like, this is why I hate everything. Like,
no, I loved
you
it.
Were no in the last episode. Like, you just were the fifth person at the table.
Yeah. I'm gonna make this real easy for anybody listening. Go to the way you got here in the description of whatever app you use. There's probably a link that can make you go to listen to Noah, a past guest of the podcast, talk to us about many of things. Talk to other people. It's great. I love this. Like, this is gonna be such a weird project. The fact that he stayed up for how many hours to do this? 20 what?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Too many. Folks, you should sleep, but if you want to listen to a man not sleep and then talk to a bunch of his friends for way too long, without sleep, it's great. I love that I got him halfway through. So
yeah, I think we're early Saturday, I want to say.
Yeah. So yeah.
The back end of the first half, but every episode is for a designated week of next year. As we go on, we'll be less accurate about everything we talk about. No, I was going to say, I wasn't there for your episode because I think I like slept in a little bit. I got a little bit more sleep than Noah did, but I think it was Saturday into Sunday. I like left a little bit early on Saturday. Then on Sunday, I like slept in a little bit. So I like, this is like a few hours on each end, right? But in podcast time, I just dipped out for like 3 months.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't that wild? I'm just going to disappear for like months at a time in the podcast.
So that's actually disappear for 9 months.
Yeah, right?
Great. When that actually comes out, everybody go listen to how like sad and bummed I was at the time of not doing well before my finals this semester. But on our podcast, you will have heard me graduate by then. you'll get the kind of the reveal, the end story of me actually doing it before, because I think that's actually all I talked about was the stress of actually doing that. It's not fun. Turns out 2024 is going to be a stressful year for me.
I know.
Thank you so much, Tom. Next week, I don't know. We're gonna do X3. Is Tom what's it called? Is it back to just being called X3, or what are we calling it?
X3, The Last Stand.
Yep. I love that I should have pitched that to Jim because he's my co-host, but I was like, nah, Tom, you do it.
Well, Tom took over as host in the middle of the episode, so.
Oh, it's totally appropriate.
It also has like one of those signs of like a series that might have went on too long when like the middle movie in the franchise is like the final movie.
For like, much like Friday the 13th, 4, the final chapter, and then they went up to 13 movies.
Nope. So,
oh, that's too many. That's too many movies.
It's very clear that like they thought they were going to only make 3 of these movies, and then they just kept making them. So,
well, folks, you heard us talk about Andrew Coppola earlier, and we're actually going to listen to him next week. He's going to be back for X-Men 3.
Oh, is he?
Last Stand. So awesome. Come back, and we'll see you then.
Is he actually going to be on?
I'm dead serious. Yeah, no lies. That's it. I know things. Cool. Our order's gotten really fucked up, and we're watching these a few of them out of order, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. Thank you so much. Andrew, if you're listening, we love you. I don't know how it's possible, but
I see you next time. Him giving you shit about X-Men 3.
he's just kind of been on our list for a long time, and we're just let's get Andrew on.
Yeah. Wait, we were just talking about how fucking cool he is. All right.
I think that was actually just fate. So yeah, folks, you don't need to wait to find out who Andrew is. We'll see you then. Love you, Jim. Tom, we can get there.
No, I get it. That's fine.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Rotten Treasure.
And on Instagram at Rotten_Treasure.
And on Twitter at Rotten Treasure.
And go to patreon.com/Rotten Treasure for bonus episodes, early episode release, and a vote for the next series.
And be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review us on any of your available podcast apps.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Perfect.